St. Luke, chapter number 18. St. Luke, chapter 18. Last couple of times I've stood before you, I've been in Luke chapter 18. I looked at two parables that Christ spoke here. And in the first eight verses, there was a command made that we ought to all take notice of. That we ought to always to pray and faint not. If there's anything needed in the church house and in our homes today, it's more praying. There's a resource there and a power there that we neglected. And so I encourage you to pick up your praying. And then we seen not only a command that was made, but we saw a confessing man. You got to approach God in the right attitude to get the right answers for your prayers. And we see a very humble man as he just went honest with God, said, smiting his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But tonight I want to move on to the next three verses where Christ blesses the little children. And I want to preach or teach a little bit on this thought tonight on child management. Child management. Let's read these verses right here. Beginning with verse 15, it says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now I'm talking about child management tonight. In the day that we live today, I think there's a great need today for children to have godly parents. Not worldly parents, godly parents. And it's a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day job raising a child. And I think today in the culture that we're in today, when people are moving more and more away from God, we're living in the days of apostasy. We're living in the days of modernism and liberalism and all kind of schisms. And faith is under attack. The home is under attack. The church is under attack. But I'm not surprised, though, looking at God's Word. There's things in God's Word that we're to look for in these last days. And there is a falling away today in the in God's house. Amen. I've seen it in my lifetime, a great falling away of people that profess to be Christians, turning away from God. But there's a verse I want you to remember right here in Proverbs 22 and 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That right there is a command. It's not an option. God thanks a whole lot of His children. Amen? And so I see tonight if you've got a child in your house, you're raising a child, or maybe grandchildren, I think it's a great responsibility to grandparents too. Or even a neighbor's child. You can be an example to a neighbor's child. But parents especially tonight is who I want to talk to tonight. First of all, I want you to know that there's an opportunity for you. A God-given opportunity for you. And notice this right here. It says, and they brought unto him also infants. Who's that they? That's the parents. Jesus was passing by. The parents wanted to get their children to Christ. And I appreciate you coming to the house of God tonight. All you mamas and daddies that brought little old kids in here tonight, I appreciate it. God expects it of you. God requires it of you. And God will bless you for it. So we see in this opportunity right here, I see there's a great treasure. In Psalms 127 and 3, the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You see, you've brought these children into the world, but they're actually a gift of God. A gift of God, a child is a great miracle. The birth of a little child is a great miracle. And within that child is a living soul. And this soul belongs to God. And that soul is going to return to God one day. And God has given you an opportunity to train up your child in the way that they should go. And it's a responsibility that so many people are taking lightly today. Well, we're going to stand before God one day, though, and give an account. So we see in this opportunity we find there's a great treasure in a child. And then the training of this child. Whose responsibility is it to train up this child? You won't find anywhere in the Word of God where the responsibility falls on anybody other than the parents that brought them into the world. It's your responsibility to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And the nourishment and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, it falls upon the parents. It's your responsibility. Don't shirk that duty. Because you're going to stand before God one day. If He loves children so much, don't you know you're going to stand before God and give an account for how you raise your children? You're going to do it. The training. Teach them respect. Teach them to say, yes, ma'am. And no, ma'am. And yes, sir. And no, sir. And I'm sorry. And thank you. And forgive me. And all these things that has to do with manners and respect. Teach them to respect authority. Amen? Too many times today, and even in, I'll just use school for an example. A child gets in a little trouble at school, and instead of parents working them over when they get home, they won't go back and jump on the teacher. Because their little child wouldn't do that. Oh, mine's innocent. Boy, when I went to school, buddy, they still used the paddle regular. That thing never did cool off much. They wear you out in a heartbeat. And you didn't go home and tell mom and daddy because you'd be in more trouble. Respect authority. Teach your children to respect authority. And that first authority is to you. Yes. Amen. There's too many kids today, 10, 11 years old, telling mom and daddy what they going to do. Amen. Well, I don't want to go to church. Ain't an option. Ain't an option. It's not their decision. Too many parents acting like kids themselves. They letting the child tell them what to do when they ought to be telling the kids what to do. That ain't real popular in the day that we live, is it? She was telling me about a lady that she's acquainted with. Got a little boy. Well, he was, no doubt, I guess he was in the car seat, and she gave him a peanut butter cracker. Well, he thought a fit. What's the matter? My cracker's broke. Throw it down. You know what she did? Instead of popping his jaws, she went and got him a gravy and biscuit. You know what he did? He got mad and throwed a fit because he didn't have a knife. That's the way, you know, you gotta teach them some respect. And sometimes it's going to be a popping. Amen. My mama wasn't mean, but she had my respect. Amen? Sometimes you just got to get your kid respect. Sometimes, you know, why does it hurt so bad to whoop a kid? I don't know. It didn't bother my mama none. We had a peach tree out in the backyard when I was a little boy. She'd make you go cut your own switch. And then you had to take it back to her and put it in her hand, and then she'd wear you out with it. Big difference in society today, isn't it? The training of the child, it's an opportunity that God's give you. Blessed you with. Little child. But notice not only the treasure and the training in this opportunity. Notice the timing. They were infants. When they brought them to Christ, they were infants. And I appreciate young couples that have a newborn child and will bring them on to church. Bring them on to church. Get them started early. Hey, it's always time. Get them in church. You'd be surprised what these little kids pick up during the preaching, during the singing. How you believe? You believe that? Yeah, I believe it because I remember when I was a little boy some things. I remember some things that took place in church when I was a little old boy. I remember seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost testifying. I remember seeing an old man of God stand up with tears, crying, preaching his heart out, begging people to get right with God and get saved. I remember that. So get them to church. Get them under the preaching of the Word of God. The timing is everything. They need the house of God and they need the Word of God in the day that we live more than ever. The timing. Jesus was passing by. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem to be crucified. The timing of this incident right here when they brought Him to Jesus was so essential. And every time that you bring your child to the house of God, I guarantee you they're getting something. Be faithful. Be faithful. You've only got them for a little while. You hear me? You've only got your child for a little while in your house. And the time to train them is when they're young and teachable. You don't wait till they get 17, 18 years old and then try to do something with them. Train them up in the way that they should go. As they grow taller, they ought to grow godlier. Know what God expects out of their life. The treasure, the training, the timing, but notice the touching. They had a desire to get their children to Jesus that He might touch them. That He might bless them. Oh, what a blessing it is that this little child last week was able to stand up here before the church and say, Jesus saved me. Her life is forever touched. Her parents are touched. Listen to me, friend. It is so essential that for you to want your child to get in the house of God where Jesus can touch their life and change their life forever. What little time you have with them, raising them up, you ought to have a great desire. I mean, it ought to be your burning heart's desire to see Jesus touch your child's life. To mold them and make them. To put them on the potter's wheel. They're the clay and he's the potter to make their life something fruitful for His glory. One day, they're going to leave out of your house. They'll be adults. They'll have children of their own more than likely one day. And how you mold and make them and train them in your house, it'll reflect greatly upon what they do down at their house. With their children one day. Great responsibility. Great responsibility. Not only this opportunity, but notice there's an obligation right here. I said obligation, not an option. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy for just a minute. Chapter number 6, and all of you that read your Bible are very familiar with this passage of Scripture right here, I know. But you're fixing to hear it again. Now I'm going to talk to daddies here a little bit. Although mothers have a great responsibility in the home too. But children need to be taught God's Word in the home. Are you listening? Children must be taught the Word of God in the home. It's what the Bible says. He says, verse 5, He says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It's going to be a constant thing. a persistent thing, a fervent thing, when you have a child in your home, that you teach them the words of God and what God expects out of their life. Thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And then let's just skip down for the sake of time to verse 12. He said, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, what happens a lot of times is people go to getting blessed. And it's a strange thing about mankind, about people. A lot of folks, and I say most folks, when they go to getting blessed with the things of this world, they go to forgetting God. They go to forgetting the one from where the blessings come from. I don't know why, but it's just a classic thing. God wouldn't have put this in there when He said, beware lest you forget the Lord. God has blessed us more than any generation behind us, I believe. We ought to be the most thankful people in the world. We got a nice place to come worship God, air conditioning, lights. Look how God has blessed us. He's put food on our table, a roof on our head, jobs. I don't think there's nobody in here going hungry tonight. If they are, let us know. We'll get you something to eat. God has been good to us. He's been good to us. He's promised us He'd provide everything we need according to His riches in glory. He's been faithful to His Word. So I see three things in this passage of Scripture right here that you need to be teaching your children. First of all, the fear of the Lord. That's something that's left out of our country. The fear of the Lord and the reverence of the Lord Jesus. We live in a day when our country and our culture is trying to push God out instead of bring Him in. And the home has got to be different. You got to demonstrate in your home that Jesus is head of the home. He's head of your heart. He's head of your life. And you need to be teaching your children, hey, to fear the Lord. Why should they fear Him? Because they're going to stand before Him one day. All these little children that run up here on Sunday morning and give their little offering, they're going to stand before God someday. And we got a great responsibility to train them up. Teach them to fear. Teach them to have faith, to trust God. Teach them to be faithful to God's Word, to live by it, to feed off of it. And all the issues of life, the answers are here in God's Word. Teach them to be thankful. Thankful to God. Thankful to the Lord Jesus from whom all blessings flow. You know, one of the characteristics of the last days is unthankfulness. And we all ought to be thankful for what God's done for us and what God's given us. Teach them how to be favored. Teach them this word right here, how to have an abundant life and how to have a favored life in the eyes and sight of God. How to have His blessings. He goes on, He says, I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous. I blessed you. I bought you. Be an example. Are you listening now? Now, I want you to get some things right here. Be an example that they can look up to. Because they are looking. I promise you that. They are looking. See, the Word of God must govern the home. It must govern the heart. And it must govern your habits for you to be a good example to your child or to your grandchild. And I want to talk to the daddies just for a minute. In Ephesians right here. chapter number 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. He starts off in this chapter right here. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now notice this. He has something to say to fathers. He said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Can I tell you something, Daddy? You got a greater responsibility than mama. Now, I appreciate godly mamas. If daddy ain't doing right and daddy ain't living right, I appreciate mamas that'll go ahead and bring their children to church and try to train them and nurture them. But daddies has got a greater responsibility right here. You see, a daddy, he is the head of the home. He's the priest of the home. He's a provider in the home. And the Bible says if a man won't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel and he's denied the faith. And he should be a pattern that children could look to and want to follow the footsteps. Amen? God-fearing, God-honoring daddy. A child is a dependent. You ever thought about how dependent a child is upon their mom and daddy? I remember when I was growing up as a child, I know there was times it was hard on my mom and daddy. But I didn't worry about it. I mean, they didn't put any pressure on me about hard times, about where the next meal was going to come from. I looked to them to put it on the table every night. I look to them for a roof over my head. Sometimes I didn't have shoes on my feet. Sometimes I did. In the summertime, we went barefooted. Any of y'all ever do that? Any of you ever stump your toe? Amen. A child is a dependent. They're dependent on you, parents. They are watching you far more closely than you'll ever realize. You see, a child needs to be developed. Yes. Train them up. You're developing that child into what kind of person they're going to be. They need an education. In the day that we live, an education is an important thing in a child's life. I mean, you want your child to have a good life, don't you? You want them to be able to provide for their own, and an education is important. They need to be developed intellectually. They need to be developed physically. A kid don't need to sit around like this all day long. And that's where most of them are nowadays. Sitting down, playing with a phone or playing some video game or something else. They need to get out and move around. If they like sports, there ain't nothing wrong with a kid playing baseball. There ain't nothing wrong with a kid playing football till it gets to interfering with God's house. When it takes the place of the things of God, it's wrong. It's wrong. Flat out wrong. So they need to exercise. If they don't like sports, give them a job. Make them work. My daddy always found me something to do. If my daddy could have seen me this year going and buying pine straw, he'd have kicked the lid off his coffin. I'd burn up $1 million worth. He made me rake it up and stick a match to it. I raked straw, it made me sick to see a pine tree. Work. It's good for you. Work's good for you. Sitting down, that's the worst thing anybody can do. Just sit down. Turn into a marshmallow. They need to be developed socially. Amen. Kids need to know how to get along with each other. They're going to be out in society. They need to know how to live a social life and be respected and respect others. But fourthly, they need to be developed spiritually. And they're going to get their roots at home. It's important that you have your child under biblical training and teaching at home. And that ain't popular. I know. I know some of you probably not listening to that. But it's in the Bible. It's biblical. God loves little children, and it's a great responsibility falling on parents. While they're little, you have them in your home, train them. Train them in the things of God. And I'll tell you in a little bit why it's so important. We'll get to that. They need a daddy that's devoted. Devoted. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as in the Lord. Kids don't need to be in a home that's full of hail and fighting. Fussing and fighting. You listening to me? It tears them down. You may think they're not listening. They're listening. And it hurts them. You know, I had a good mom and daddy. One time in my childhood life, I heard them have a fuss. One time. Now, they probably did when I wasn't around. One time, I remember though, at my age now, I still remember that fuss they had and how it affected me. I'd never seen them fussing and fighting before, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it a bit. So you better take notice how your home life is. God don't want mamas and daddies at each other's throat fussing and cussing each other in front of the little children. You better listen to that. They need a home that's stable. They need a home where love is. There's enough junk out in the world. They're going to see plenty of junk out in the world. They need a place to come home to where they're loved and where everybody loves one another. And God is ahead. Not only a daddy that's devoted, a daddy that knows doctrine. Daddy needs to know this book. Not only doctrine, but let's get this in discipline. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that whom the Lord loves, He chastens. That principle still works today. It didn't say whom He loves, He gives time out to. He chastens. That has to do with the old-fashioned word whooping. Just to give you a few verses what the Bible says about discipline. In Proverbs 19:18, the Bible says, chasten thy son while there's hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Crying ain't never hurt a kid. If it did, they'd be dead. They do a lot of crying. They do a lot of crying just to get their way. Bible says they come forth from the womb speaking lies, crying. Kids know how to get their way with parents. Go to crying. I remember Jamie. You could take him up to his room there to give him a whooping, he'd be screaming the roof off before you laid a hand on him. Thinking that screaming was going to cause it to slack up a little bit. Oh, listen to me. Chasten thy son while there's hope. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That old black preacher said, betimes, anytime he be needing it. Now listen to this in Proverbs 23 right here. Withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Discipline is important. Children have to be disciplined. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. And God has instructed it in the Word of God that discipline is your responsibility and a part of training up your child. Now, let me say this. You ought to discipline in love. You ought to be firm, but you ought to be fair. A lot of times parents get angry and overdo it. You better be glad that God hadn't got the attitude toward us like that. When God disciplines you and I, He does it in love. And we ought to do our children the same way. The opportunity, the obligation, but now the opposition, the obstacles in child management or in training up a child. Notice this right here, back in Luke's gospel now. Back in Luke chapter number 18. We won't be much longer here. It says they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The biggest obstacle right here in getting the child to Jesus was a disciple. Now, you as a parent, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're a disciple of Christ. I wonder, are you your child's biggest obstacle in coming to Jesus? Something to think about right there. You can be a hindrance, or you can be a help. You can have a burden, or you can not have a burden for your child. But we're going to stand before God Almighty someday. And He's keeping a record. So the opposition comes from the disciples. Now there's going to be plenty of devils. There's going to be plenty of devils out here to confront you and confront your children all through life. To try to keep them and try to keep you from the house of God, from the things of God. You're going to have to fight that battle all the days of your life. But don't you be a hindrance. You be a help. Notice this, in this opposition right here, the disciples were the first ones. And no doubt the devils want to hinder. But notice the disapproval. Jesus called him unto him and said, "Suffer little children to come to me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." There was a disapproval right here. There was a word that was quick, and there was a stern rebuke to the disciples. Disciples, mamas and daddies, Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." In other words, you better get them to me. You better do everything you can to get them to Jesus and not be a hindrance to them. Now, I've noticed something down here on the lake at Widawa. You know, you sit there on the porch and you see boats, zoom, 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 you see people. I've noticed a lot of people, they'll buy a $100,000, $125,000 boat. They'll buy tubes and they'll buy skis for their kids to get behind. And I ain't got a problem with that. But you know what I see? I see the same ones weekend after weekend, Sunday evening after Sunday evening. They think they're doing their kids a favor. They're doing the worst thing in the world they could ever do for them. The worst thing they could ever do. Spend all that money, never taking thought that that child is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. The opportunity, the obligation, and the opposition, but lastly this, and quickly, the outcome. I wonder, what's going to be our legacy? What's going to be our legacy in the eyes of our children, our grandchildren? If you look over in Judges chapter number 2, the children of God moved over into Canaan's land. Moses had died and Joshua had taken over. There was a lot of failures. They got over in that promised land there and they began to be disobedient. They didn't fulfill the things that God told them. And yet all the days of Joshua, they served the Lord. But you know what happened? Joshua died. And the Bible says all of that godly generation died out. Listen to this verse, and I'm closing. And also all that generation, speaking of the godly generation, were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. What happened? What happened? It was a failure in the parents. Failure. They got more concerned with the promised land and the stuff they got over there, I believe, than they did with the things of God. And they raised up a generation that knew not the Lord. We got a responsibility to fulfill. Parents, you got a responsibility to fulfill. Raising up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what? That preacher preached here, I forget his name, Brother Ken, the other day, preached out of Revelation 21. Brother Stone. When he got over there and he read that verse, now John saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old had passed away. But the scene in heaven there says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I never get a lot of thought, Brother Ken, until he brought it out. What's them tears going to be for? What's them tears going to be for? I'd hate to make it to heaven with the blood of my child on my hands. Because I didn't do right. I didn't train them right. I didn't bring them up right. But we're going to stand there one day. No doubt there'll be some tears. We ought to shed some tears down here. We ought to get a burden while there's time. Miss Emily, would you come to the piano?